NPR.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the first annual IPO Awards. And here are your hosts, Cardiff Garcia and Stacey Vanek Smith.
Going public. This is when a company starts selling shares of stock. It starts trading on, say, the New York Stock Exchange, so the public can buy a piece of it, invest in the company.
And there are upsides to doing this. The biggest one? Money. You can raise a lot of money, sometimes billions of dollars, selling shares of stock. It's like this big wad of cash that you can raise really quickly to either help grow the business or to pay off the founders.
But there are downsides. You generally have less control over the company. You have to answer to shareholders. After all, they own the company now.
Yeah, plus there's more regulation because being a publicly owned company means you have more government rules that you have to comply with.
Yes, and people get to look at your books, your profits, your losses, what you pay the executives. It is all public information.
Now, 2019 has been a pretty dramatic year for the IPO market.
Yes, it has.
Kathleen Smith, she is the founder of Renaissance Capital, which researches and advises investors on IPOs.
From far away, it's going to look like a pretty good year. However, close up, there's fraying around the edges. We saw the decline of these.
The fall of the unicorns.
The fall of the unicorns.
Now, a unicorn, Cardiff, is a company with a valuation of above $1 billion. And there sure were a lot of them this year.
That's right, there were. You could even say it was the year of unicorn tears. Like rivers and rivers of them?
Well, you know, Cardiff, some unicorns were crying, but some unicorns looked pretty fat and happy in 2019. And coming up, we will have it all. The good, the bad, the ugly, and the IPO of the year after the break.
Support for this podcast comes from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age.
2019 was supposed to be a record year for IPOs. Hundreds of companies were predicted to go public, raising as much as $100 billion.
Yeah, none of that really panned out. So far this year, around 130 companies have gone public and started selling shares of their stock, and they've raised roughly $40 billion. That's actually a pretty middling year for the IPO market, money-wise. Drama-wise, on the other hand, it has been a rich year indeed.
And how? Some very high highs and some very low lows. Let's start with one of those highs, Cardiff, the award for the biggest first-day price jump.
Now, when a company goes public, it first starts by setting a price at which it's going to sell its shares to investors. So let's say $100. So investors will buy those shares for $100, and then those investors can turn around and start selling those shares on the stock market, and the stock starts trading.
But the company doesn't actually know what the public will be willing to pay. So on the first day of trading, the price of that stock will go up or down, depending on what investors think the company is worth. So if investors are not feeling your company at $100, the share price might drop to what they are willing to pay. Let's say $80 a share. Oof, that's not a great start.
Not a good look at all. Now, ideally, companies get a little price pop on the first day. Investors get excited. It's a new stock. They bid up the price to, let's say, $110 a share. That sets a good tone for the company going forward in the minds of investors in the stock market.
And this year, there is just no contest. The IPO award for best first day of trading goes to Beyond Meat.
Oh yeah, Beyond Meat. The fake meat maker priced its shares at $25. By the end of the day, Beyond Meat stock was trading for more than $65 a share. You might say those are some meaty returns.
You might say that. Of course, not everybody sees their share price beef up the first day, which brings us to our next award, Biggest First Day Share Price Drop. And that award goes to
SmileDirect. This company makes clear plastic braces. Its shares fell by more than 25%. on the first day, and the company has not been able to turn that frown upside down.
Very nice.
Today, the stock is worth less than half of what it started at. Not a lot to smile about.
No, but SmileDirect did not snag the award for worst overall IPO of the year. Nope, because that is not so much about the first day. That award goes to the biggest, baddest, all-around public flop of 2019. And Kathleen Smith, we're going to let you do the honors this time.
Uber sort of takes the cake for that. It was just such a large IPO.
Uber was estimated to be worth more than $80 billion when it went public back in May.
In theory, because remember, when you go public, everybody gets to look at your books. And in the case of Uber, they'd gotten a lot of money from early investors, of course, but they were spending money at an alarming rate and had to state in their filing that it was possible that it would never earn a profit.
Ooh.
Never.
Investors did not love that information. Shares dropped by nearly 8% on the first day of trading.
Things have only gone downhill since then. In its first earnings report as a public company, Uber posted a loss of $1 billion, with a B. Two executives left. It's been laying off employees recently.
IPO? More like IPU.
Oh. The company's hoping it can get Uber this. Not sure investors agree.
We'll have to see. Only time will tell, Cardiff. And now for a little bit of good news. We're calling this the best IPO of 2019. So for this category, we took the top 10 biggest IPOs of the year, and we looked at which of those companies made the biggest return for investors.
And the winner for 2019 is Zoom Video Communications. This is a company that does remote conferencing for companies.
It went public back in April at $36 a share, and its price is up nearly 90% on an annualized basis since then. Nice job, Zoom.
Yeah, they're zooming right along.
Oh, Cardiff, you and the bone
marrow. We're going to be here all week, folks.
And that brings us to our final award of the night. The most iconic IPO of the year. Now, this award goes to the IPO that most captivated us, had that je ne sais quoi of IPO-ness for 2019. And this year, the award goes to
the IPO that wasn't, actually. Gotta go with WeWork.
WeWork indeed. The co-working company seemed unstoppable this year. The workplace of the future, its growth was astronomical. Investors were throwing money at it. The company was estimated to be worth $47 billion when it announced plans to go public this year.
Then people actually looked at WeWork's books.
Ooh.
The company was spending way more than it was bringing in, and there didn't seem to be a very good plan to turn that around. Plus, the CEO, Adam Neumann, was making some pretty dodgy decisions. Like investing $13 million into a company that makes artificial waves, like the ones in the water.
WeWork's estimated value was adjusted down from $47 billion to $10 billion. A bunch of executives left. The CEO was pushed out, maybe on an artificial wave. Suffice it to say, there will not be a WeWork IPO this year.
More like hashtag we don't work.
We don't work indeed. In fact, Kathleen Smith says 2019 was the year of unicorn scrutiny.
Yeah, you gotta look under the hood of those unicorns. Mixed metaphor alert, people. It's an awards show, it's not grammar school.
Kathleen says you absolutely do. That investors right now are not so dazzled by fast growth and company name recognition. Now, they want a business plan.
And this has put a damper on the IPO market. A lot of companies that were gonna go public this year, like Airbnb, have changed their minds. They've backed off.
This correction is a good thing. This pushback on companies that are growing at all costs, companies that have valuations that are excessive, it's good pushback that says the IPO market's working. It's good. There's some good things ahead.
And that is our show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us for the first annual IPO Awards.
We look forward to seeing you right back here next year. For now, have a great night, and please invest responsibly.
Stay tuned for Matlock reruns. This episode of The Indicator was produced by Lena Sanzgiri, fact-checked by Nadia Lewis. Our editor is Patty Hirsch, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.